the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Oh, yeah. Come on. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. Hey. The King of glory.
Great, where are you now? Trying to hide,
to hide
where I was. you call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call
anybody there today? Hey!
And now your freedom is all that I know. The old me knew Jesus when I met you.
Oh, what a day!
You called my name.
Hey!
And I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness,
Praise the Lord. Why don't you sit down today so everyone can see what's going on here. Some of you may not know, but we have the second largest church in Maine in the Epic Center every Sunday with all these kids. And they've come out not to show off how cute they are, but they came out to praise the Lord with you. And they know at a young age that when you serve God that you already win. That in the presence of the Lord you are victorious. And we're going to sing because Jesus died for them, died for you and for me. And I'm going to get down on the floor because I can, and that way you don't have to look at me. Praise the Lord. This is fun. We're going to sing a song together called Already Won. They're going to do some stuff. I want you to praise with them because we serve a God who's already won. Amen. Come on, praise Him together. Go ahead, Ethan.
Let's give these young people a good hand, would you please? Good job, guys. Good job. They work so hard to get here, they don't want to leave. They're just going to stay right there and look at you. Wave at them so they don't look so nervous. I'm used to you staring, but they're not. Go ahead, wave at them. Smile. Act like you're happy. That's better. That's better. We don't want your kids thinking you're in church against your own will. We want them to think that you're out here because you want to be. That's fantastic. You're going to have to give them a minute. Let's thank all these workers. I don't know how they're going to do that, but they're going to get them back. Safe, sound, and secure. If you're visiting, which we know some are, we have so many wonderful people that care about the next generation. Every Sunday at 9:30 a.m., we have nursery right up through the adult ages. And then, and those are teachers, some of them 30, 40 years of tenure, small group setting. And then every morning, we have kids on the move that's ages 2 through the 5th grade. That's what you see here today. That's just the 2-year-olds up through the 5th grade. And like Paul said, that's larger than most churches in New England. Larger than most church averages, actually, all throughout the United States. So we're so privileged to have them. Thank you, church, for making these facilities available. And we're so grateful. Then, after Kids on the Move, we have Ignite 6th, 7th, and 8th graders up in the cafe right now. Every Sunday morning during this service at 10:30. You ever felt like you're talking and just nobody had any idea that you were... I'm not taking it personally. I'm just trying to kill time, but I didn't want you to think I didn't see that you weren't listening. Usually it doesn't happen until I start preaching. I'm not used to it this early in the service. And then Wednesday night, blah, 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 wah, 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 wah. I'd like a large Coke and a fry. And then Wednesday nights, we have the teenagers, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th graders in the Epic Center. And then every Thursday, we have our Elevate group. That's 18 to 30. So they meet every Thursday night, have their own service. So all kinds of things going on for all kinds of ages. You guys look really sharp. Happy Easter. Thank you. Hello, Trouble. That's Trouble right there. Hi, Maya. You're not Trouble. You're a blessing. We give all the workers a little extra Xanax after the service so they can relax throughout the afternoon. Fantastic. One more time. It's good for them to hear you clapping as they're walking. It's fantastic. Hey, Rye. Can you give me a hug? That's my daughter. You're not getting a hug. If you want one, you're not getting one from me. But she gets one. You know, part of our Project 18, which is our initiative to be a great blessing outside the four walls of our church, there is an orphanage in Haiti that we are largely involved with. We have really committed some significant money to help the orphanage. Believe it or not, this orphanage, which right now has 77 orphans in the orphanage, many of them were only getting one meal a day last year. And some of them, it wasn't food that was even healthy. It was just salt and butter. And the church has seen how some of the children in that orphanage years past actually made mud pies. And actually, that was the only nourishment. And it didn't help them, but the workers, it was all they had, and it just stopped that pain in their belly. And so this year, we made a strong commitment with the orphanage that we felt like it was inappropriate with all the resources that we have, being so blessed that those children in that orphanage deserve, at the very least, 3 good meals a day. And we've committed to that. We're doing it. We're so thankful. That's the church. That's the church being the church that God planned for it to be. And it's a combination of the commitments that our church folks have made, either by a weekly or a monthly financial commitment, and our Sunday school department. Our Sunday school department, for the past several years have given nearly $5,000 a year towards that orphanage. And then we're putting all, pulling all those resources together to make sure that we can stock the food pantry. I think we built a chicken house as well. Is that right, Matt? Come here, Matt. I just want to show you off a little bit. This is Matt Parker. Where's Alicia? I think I saw, just stand if you would, Alicia. I want you folks to see Matt and Alicia Parker. Great people. They help us with our orphanage. We built a chicken house there, and they're raising chickens, and they're having eggs. And so it's just exciting what we're able to do. A dollar goes a long way in Haiti, And we're vitally involved with feeding children right in this town and in this county. So we feel like God's blessed us enough to do everything that God gives us the opportunity to do. And so for our church family and our guests, I want to encourage you, take a look at this quick video. Our missions team took a trip down in when, October? Matt and Alicia led a group down there in October, and this is some of the footage from that trip and some of the numbers that will encourage you. Go ahead and play that video. Some of the children from that orphanage have been adopted by the families in our church. And Gabriel comes to us from Haiti. Isn't he a sharp-looking little preacher? Look at Gabriel. Carl and Sheila Scott and the family are sitting down front. And Gabriel is quite, it really is quite a little prayer warrior. And he learned to pray in Haiti. And obviously, you remember all of the devastation that took place in that earthquake. And we've got an awesome opportunity. Can I tell them about something fun before you pray? Thank you, bud. We want to do more. We've had a plan. You saw it in our presentation that Pastor Rigo has a significant amount of land in a city nearby. It's actually called Jerusalem. And he's got big plans there. And one of the first phases is to have a church that would seat 500 Haitians. 500 Haitians, and he told us it would cost $30,000. They've already started the work on the foundation, which is about $6,000. And I'll show you some of the pictures here in the very near future. So we needed $24,000. I had a businessman sit down with me a week ago and said, what are the projects that the church is involved in? I began to share the different projects, and I shared this 500-seat auditorium for the Haitians that we wanted to build. And he said, how much is it? And I said, it's $24,000, and I don't have the funds as of right now, but I'm just asking the Lord for it. And he said, I'll tell you what, if you can raise $12,000, I'll give $12,000 for that. Isn't that fantastic? It's fantastic. And so what we're going to do is we're going to allow the young people to raise that money. Well, I'm not coming to you for it. They are. we know it's true. But what we're going to do, what we're going to do is we're going to have kids on the... Now, again, Sunday school is going to continue partnering with us to feed those children all year long. And then Kids on the Move, Ignite, Soulfire, and Elevate are collectively going to put together, and they're going to raise the $12,000. And I believe some of those kids are themselves going to take that trip, and they're going to say, I helped build that church when I was a little kid, when I was in the first grade, when I was a freshman, when I was a 20-year-old college student. Isn't that awesome? I'm so excited about that. And in that 500-member, 500-seat church, they'll also start a feeding program where they can feed children in there. So that is so exciting. We're going to share that, more about that in the near, very near future. But I want Gabriel to just pray. Pray, buddy, that God will bless the church for what they're doing, that God will help us do great things to help your friends in Haiti, all right? Just let it rip, bud. Nobody out here is nervous. You just pray, okay? Like God led you.
Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. I'm thankful that you kept the orphanage safe. And Jesus, I pray that you'll take away our hard stuff away. And Jesus, I pray that you'll help my family to have a good day today. And I pray that all the kids in the orphanage will have a good day. And Jesus, I pray that all my friends in the orphanage and the friends in here that live in the orphanage, and Jesus, we thank you that you made us and that you built us up to love one another and to build one another up and not down. And Jesus, I pray, I'm thankful that you gave us a life to have freedom. And Jesus, we're thankful that you died on the cross for our sins and rose back again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good job, bud. Good job, bud.
You know, to watch the video is a little hard for Gabriel because that was his first home. But how exciting that we can say, Gabriel, we are building a church there. Amen?
That's awesome.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ryan. He dressed up like Pastor Ward for school, but he told his mom he needed a little powder in his hair so he could look old. So we're moving right along. We're so, you know, in the orphanage, Sheila was telling me this morning that his roommate was Woodney, which is here every week with him because that's one of the children that Matt and Alicia adopted. And when he came here, he was 12, when they decided to adopt him, he was 12 months, but he looked 4 months. Because he couldn't sit on his own. He was so malnourished and so sick. But did you see him today? He's looking good. Amen? So we're so blessed to be able to be a part of this mission. Amen? Amen. It's just so good to have you here. I'm Darcy. I'm Pastor Ward's wife. And if this is your first Sunday, if you're a guest here today, we want you to know we are glad that you're in the house. Charleston Church, will you let them know we're glad you're here? We're so glad you're here. And if you're here and maybe this is your first time or you have never filled out a contact card, right in the seat ahead of you, if you just take that, fill it out, and put it in the offering. Everybody needs a good church. And we have so much going on, and we just want to help you and bless you. Amen? Because Charleston Church is a good church, right, family? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We have a couple things going on that I just want to tell you about. This Wednesday, it's called our First Wednesday. And how many know, like, Sunday to Sunday sometimes can be a little long? So in the middle of the week, this Wednesday at 7 o'clock, We're going to have a family night for the church. There will be kids on the move. There will be nursery, Ignite, Soul Fire. So whatever age you are, that is a night to come. And we have church right here in the sanctuary. And it's 7 to 8 to just give you a little something in between the week. How many know we all need a little extra? Yes. So come this Wednesday. It's going to be a great time together. And then if you are a lady... Okay, if you're a lady, all ladies, give me a woo! That was pretty good. This Saturday, we're going to have a breakfast at Jeff's Catering. If you'd sign up in the lobby or see church 11A at info, we just are going to have a great time together. It's something about getting together as women, and we'll have prizes, and then your husband said you could have the whole day off and go shopping. Right, honey? Yes. Yes. And then next Sunday night, the 80s are back. We're going to have a volunteer celebration, and it's just going to be a good night. We're so thankful every week, the volunteers that are here every week. Every week they volunteer. We have the kids on the move couldn't have come up here today with all those adults. We're so thankful for all of our volunteers. So if you're a volunteer, come get your mullets on. Dress up. I mean, like, really dress up. Like, you think my hair is big today? You have seen nothing. So we've been looking for 80s clothes, and dear Jesus is all I gotta say. Yes, it's gonna be a fun night. So that's next Sunday night at 5:00. It's a meal in the Epic Center. Anything else, honey? Because it seems like I have the mic, but you're talking an awful lot down there. Anything else? Oh, I'm doing, okay. I keep hearing this. Okay, yes, 80s, dress up, fun night, meal, 5:00. What? Child care. Thank you. Anything else, you two? No, okay, offering, ushers, you may come down. I'm sorry, they're still talking. I'm going to do that during his message today, see how he likes it. I'm just kidding, honest. I really do like him a lot. Okay, ushers, come on down. We're so glad to be able to give. We love to give in this church. This church is so faithful in their giving. And we give to so many things, and we're just excited to be able to give today. Amen? So let's just pray a blessing. So as you give your tithe and offering, we just want to say thank you and how excited we are so we can even do more. We can even do more. Like that was on my husband's heart for Haiti, which God put on his heart. But God came in and just worked it out, and we're going to build a building, and we're thankful. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you. We celebrate that you have risen every day. But today is a day that we just get together and we can just spend time celebrating how you come in and how you change lives. You change families. You give hope. You take the orphan and you bring them in and you just help them. We're just so thankful to be a part of Charleston Church. I pray a blessing on every guest today. I pray you bless their family. Lord, just bless them and let them know we're so thankful they're here. Bless the offering today. Just bless everything we do. We pray we can do more in 2018 than we've ever done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Crowned with glory. glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at His feet we bow.
Your name is victory. on us. So it literally says the resurrected King is resurrected up inside of me. It also says that no weapon formed against me can prosper. And we can believe that because Jesus went to death, hell, and the grave, and he defeated them. He looked face to face with every situation, every sickness, every sadness, every disease, every distraction, every depression, every disappointment you would have. He looked it in the face and said, you cannot win, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So maybe your sin is strong, but I tell you, Jesus is stronger. And maybe your shame is great, but today, Jesus is greater.
Jesus is stronger, my shame was greater. Jesus, you're greater.
Sin was stronger. Jesus is stronger.
My shame was greater.
My shame was greater.
Jesus, you're greater.
Jesus, you're greater.
My sin was stronger.
Sin was stronger.
Let's jump up on our feet and give the Lord the greatest hand clap of praise. Come on, we can do much better. He deserves the best. Come on, let's give him the praise he's due. He's worthy of. He's worthy. You're never going to outpraise him. You're never going to give him more than he deserves. Come on, let's give him a good praise. Thank you, Lord, for strength and joy, power. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4. Thank God for his presence today. You all look so nice. Thank you for joining us. I want to welcome everybody that's online. Be watching the next couple of weeks. You're going to be seeing some significant differences in this presentation to you online. It's going to be a massive improvement. We're excited about that. The parents of Maya, I don't see any rest, Maya Vincent. Every child has a tag. We have a security system that we protect your children very, very effectively. Her tag is up here, so unless you have physical ID, blood test, DNA, you're not taking her home because I have her tag. So, okay. It's ripped. Do you want the tag? Here. No, you don't need the tag. We know you. That's why we're not going to give her to you. If it was a visitor, I'd be like, go ahead. But no, the Maldonados, they're the best. All right, the Maldonados are absolutely the best. Matthew chapter 4, verse 21, and then you can be seated. Thank you for standing. Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. Going on from there, he saw two older brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their dad, mending nets, and he called them. Turn to your neighbor and just say, I'm ready for an interruption, if you would, please. Then you can be seated. I'm ready for an interruption. Then you can be seated. Tonight, I hope that you'll come back. You don't have to dress up, but you can. But I hope that you'll come back tonight. International evangelist, really, Nate Pimentel will be here preaching on healing. If you need a healing in your body or you know somebody that needs healing in their body, you should be here tonight at 5:00. I need you to know every Sunday we have morning service, evening service. I know mornings don't always work for people, but we do have an evening service, and I really like it. It's not the same as Sunday morning. I really like it, and I hope that you'll come. I see the Days up there with a brand new baby girl in the front row of the balcony. I think I see some grandparents, some aunts, some uncles. Congratulations. God bless you. I want to talk to you, and if you'll give me about 20 to 25 minutes, I'll do my best to make the most of your time. We feel it's a privilege that you're here, and I don't want to waste your time. And, you know, we're all hungry. There's two things that need to happen for God to work in our lives. Two things. Just want you to hear two words: interruption and departure. Those are two words that I want to mean something to you more after the message is over than before. Interruption. We see that Jesus comes to James and John. They're fishermen. They're fishermen whose nets are broken. You know, you can't catch fish with broken nets. And at a time that things are not going as planned, Jesus makes an appearance and interrupts their life. The Bible says, and he called them. He didn't make an appointment. He didn't ask the secretary of the fishing business, the aquaculture business, if he could have an appointment with the owner's sons. But he just interrupted their lives, and he called them. He called them. If you're new to the Bible, he didn't have their cell number. If they did have a number, it would have been 8675. Oh, you read that scripture. I called that number today. It's a fitness outfit in New Jersey. They sold that phone number in 2009, area code 201, for $2,025. Money well spent. It was closed. I got good news and bad news for you. God has a plan for every person's life that's in this building, on the floor, in the balcony, watching online now or later. God has a plan. That's good news. I got bad news. His plan isn't always the same as your plan. And I can assure you today that many of us, the plans we had, if we'd have stayed with them, would have been so inferior compared to the plans that we found out that God had for us instead. But I love the fact that Jesus has a way of finding times in our lives, sometimes when things aren't going well, sometimes when things are going fantastic, Jesus has a way of without a warning, without announcement, just finding his way into our lives and interrupting us. And I need you to hear this. He's not going to interrupt your life because he has a prediction that he wants to badmouth you, or he wants to hurt you or damage you. Any interruption that God has in our lives is always because he either wants to get us off the wrong track, or he wants to encourage us while we're on the right track. An interruption. And I believe in my heart today that there are some of you here that God is trying to interrupt you. You've either been going to church, but you're just going through the routine. God wants to interrupt you and tell you that he wants to help you. Maybe, you know, it's Easter. It's the Super Bowl of Christianity. It really is. I mean, any football fan that said, I'm a fan, then you say, well, how did you like the Super Bowl? Well, I never watched the Super Bowl. You just question, you think they're a football hypocrite. This is the Super Bowl of Christianity. If you have any interest at all, you're either in church or watching church. But I need you to hear this, that even though we have our own plans, God wants to interrupt. And if he's interrupting you, he's helping you. If he's interrupting you, he's trying to salvage you. If he's interrupting you, he's also trying to make your life different. Now watch the response in verse 22 that James and John have when Jesus calls them. And immediately, somebody say immediately, they left their boat and their father and followed him. Instantly, without thought, right here, right now. They dropped everything. And you know, it's not hard to drop everything when nothing's going right. Sometimes it's hard for God to get through to us when everything's going well. But regardless, if you'll listen, and if you allow God to deal with you right where you're at, just remember, James and John were not at an Easter service. James and John were just out in the middle of the week sometime fishing, having a difficult time, frustrated. But their heart was open, their ear was open. And when Jesus made his way to them, he said, I want you to follow me. And immediately they walked away from what wasn't working to follow the one that would help them. I've heard a lot of reasons why people don't follow God. And it amazes me how people are committed to something that doesn't work. I think it's because they're comfortable. People get comfortable with excuses. People get comfortable with dysfunction. People get comfortable with depression. People get comfortable with bad habits. But I'm going to tell you something today. Jesus Christ has come to give you a reason to depart. Jesus has given you a reason to leave. There is nothing that you will leave behind in life that God doesn't have 100 times better for your future. The shame, the guilt, as comfortable as it is, it will never compare to the joy and the forgiveness and the peace that He has in store for your life today. Immediately. I need to tell somebody that it's time for you to shut the door on the past. Because when we make half-hearted decisions, well, I'll serve God when it's convenient, and I'll do the right Christian thing, what we do is we leave the door to guilt, we leave the door to sin, we leave the door to compromise open, and when we do, eventually that will compromise our commitment to God. I know that preachers are famous for saying, you know, you don't have to, just come to Him as you are. But I don't think that's being totally honest. Come to Him as you are, but just get ready. I'm going to warn you because I love you. I'm going to warn you, if you come to Him as you are, and you ought to, trust me, He's not going to let you stay the way you are. Why come to Him? Why come to Him and have defeat continue and just have something you do different Sunday morning? Why bother? Why? I'm just hearing, you've heard soft altar calls and preachers just, well, just come as you are and just all this fuzzy, feel good, wishy-washy, Disney-style altar calls. No, I'm going to tell you, and men, please, men, God's not calling you to be a softer version of your sinful self. God is calling you to abandon everything that doesn't work, that the culture calls popular, and take a manly step toward God and say, I'm going to decide to live for Christ. Either I'm going to do it 100% or I'm not going to do it at all. And I think there's some mothers that ought to do that too. No. I'm not your talk show preacher. I'm not your talk show preacher. I'm coming to tell you, this isn't just a change of schedule. This is a change of life. But I'll tell you what I lost. I lost hell. I lost sin. I lost shame. I lost regret. And I picked up heaven. I picked up hope. I picked up victory. I picked up life after death. And anything less will not yield results. An interruption. And a departure. Recognize the hand of God reaching out to you while you still can. I can't promise you next year He'll do this. I can't promise next Easter you'll hear it. But I will promise you today, if you'll heed the call, and at the end of this service, I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to pray a certain prayer. It's a prayer we pray every Sunday. It's a prayer I prayed in 1990. See, I grew up in church. I knew what it was like to go to church on Easter. But I went to church Easter night. I went to church Wednesday night. I went to church Sunday school. I went to youth group. I went to special services. But in my heart, I'd grown cold toward God. I began to live a life totally disregarding the wisdom of God. In other words, sin will make you stupid. And I was fruit of that. But one night on a June in 1990, I had no idea why I went to church. I didn't want to be in church. I don't know why I was in church. But on June, hot June Sunday night, I sat over here to my left, to your right, about two-thirds of the way back. Pastor Libby preached. He gave the altar call. I didn't want to go. I said, I'm going home. I'm going to keep doing the dumb things I've been doing because I'm comfortable in my sin. But when I got up, he gave one more altar call. And I felt the divine interruption of God over my life. I felt that God could have called thousands of other people that night, and perhaps He did. But all I know is that this young boy's life, who was so full of sin and so full of rebellion and so broken and messed up and fearful, when I got up, I felt the interrupting power of God. And the man who got up to leave was the man who found his way to an altar. And here I am. I'm not bragging, but to the glory of God, in 2018, I don't regret that decision for a single second. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. It's the best thing that ever happened to my family. And there are hundreds of testimonies all over this place, thousands and millions all over the world that made the same decision. And I trust before this day is over, before this service is over, you'll make the same decision to say, I believe God's interrupting my life, and I believe He's going to help me to depart the things that are hurting me. If you go on in Luke chapter 9, it'll come up on the screen. You don't have to turn there. James and John come back to us. It says, now it came to pass when the time had come for Jesus to be received up. That means he knew he had to go to Jerusalem to be crucified. He steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem. He was focused. He says, this is where I'm going, boys. He sent messengers before him, and as they went, they entered the village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. Now realize, when they went to the village, the Samaritans were people that were hated, and so they were not a hospitable crowd, a lot of racism, poverty, sin, anger, shame, dysfunction. And the Bible says in verse 53, when those who prepared the way before Jesus went, that the villagers did not accept Jesus. Verse 54, and when James and John saw this, remember when Jesus called James and John, remember that? Okay, these guys have been serving Jesus for a little while. And when they see that the crowd doesn't accept Jesus and treat him right, this is what they do. These guys would make great board members. Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? How many of you ever met somebody who knows just enough Bible to make them very annoying? They know just enough Bible and can smell well enough to get a Facebook account. And these guys know just enough Bible history to say, hey, guess, you know, they don't like you, Jesus, so let's make them Kentucky Fried Samaritans. And Jesus said, he rebuked them. You know, God does rebuke his own people. You don't know what manner of spirit you are. He's saying, you got your Bible knowledge right, but your spirit's bad. He uses this as an opportunity to promote his agenda. Verse 56. He reminds them, the Son of Man did not come to destroy people. He came to save people. Please hear that. Why did Jesus die? Why do we celebrate Easter? Because he came to save people. And in Samaria, they went to another village. Now, this is interesting. Verse 57, I'm sorry. Now, it happened as they journeyed in Samaria, that another village, that someone said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. This is interesting. Watch. This was a place of the Samaritans. They rejected Jesus. But the longer Jesus was in their presence, the more people began to soften toward him. Verse 58. And Jesus said to him, to the guy who said, I want to follow you, like James and John have. And Jesus says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Now give me 10 minutes. People have misused this scripture to say Jesus was homeless. Jesus was not homeless. The Bible says Jesus owned a home. I remind you, he was 30 years before he went into the ministry. He moved out of his parents' house. You should do that before you're 30. So where did he live? Was he a 10-year homeless man? No. He owned a home. He had a job and he paid for it. So what is Jesus saying? Well, why do foxes have holes and why do birds have nests? They have them so that they can raise their young. And what Jesus is saying is that the foxes and the birds have places that are conducive for them raising up the next generation. But Jesus looks at the man. He says, I'm looking at you. I can tell already on the outset, you have no intention to let me take what's in my head and put it in your life. God ain't playing games. Verse 59. Martha, I thought he was preaching on Easter. Well, you hang in there, Myrtle. Verse 59. He said to another, look, now somebody who didn't want, now he says to another guy in the area that people didn't want anything to do with him. Now Jesus says to one of the guys, follow me. And the guy said, let me first go bury my father. Let me go bury my father. Let me take care of some family business. Now, that doesn't seem inappropriate, does it? Doesn't it seem like if you had a family relative, especially your dad, die, that just about everything else will go on hold until you bury your dad? But Jesus uses this as an awesome teaching opportunity, and let me show you. Verse 60. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom. Oh, I got ahead of myself. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Now, does that make sense to you? Does to her. Does it make sense to you? Y'all give me the silent treatment. It doesn't make sense to me. Does it make sense to you? Okay, now that I said it didn't make sense, you're willing to say it doesn't make sense. This is the image I've got in my mind, and pardon me for a moment, but I've done a few funerals. I can see me standing near the hearse with the casket inside. There's the plot in the ground. I hear the car door shutting from the family. And up over the hill, the dead bury the dead. I see these group of zombies. Comes Mama Zombie, Grampy Zombie, Cousin Zombie, Uncle Zombie, Auntie Zombie. That's what I hear. The dead bury the dead. Here comes Step Zombie, Zombie in Laws, and they're coming over the hill. The pallbearers, their arm is stuck on the casket. They can't even pick it up. That's what I see. The dead bury the dead. And that is exactly what God was saying, but not the physical dead. What he's saying to this young man, who he wants to follow him, he interrupts this guy's life. He's not looking for God. He interrupts this guy's life, and he says to the guy, you've got to depart the past to follow me. And the guy says, I'd like to, but I got family stuff, and the way my family does things, I got to go back there. And Jesus says, look, your family's struggling. Your dad just died. And you can't go back and help them. They're dead people burying dead people. What's that mean? He's saying your father has died. And because he has no faith, he has no hope for heaven. And now you're going to try to console your family who have no faith either. In other words, what he's saying is your father has died physically, but your family is dead spiritually. And the problem is, your family keeps trying to deal with things without me. The Bible says that any man that is separated from God, which I'm just bear with me. He comes into the man's life and he says, I want to help you, but if you want my help, you got to realize where you come from a bunch of dead spiritual background. See, death came to the Garden of Eden. Satan embodied death. And Satan wanted Adam to say no to God and yes to the devil. And the devil then put death in Adam's life. And death became Adam's landlord. And the only way for us to get connected back to God is not a decision card, and it's not church membership, and it's not whether you go to church on Easter Sunday or every Sunday. The only way to have a relationship with God is we need a resurrection. I'm trying to preach here. My church people giving me the silent treatment. The new people are like, I'm not sure where he's going. And the Lord says, just keep on preaching, son. I'm with you. Okay, I'll keep on preaching. I'm just telling you, your problem is not a religious one. Your problem is not a behavioral one. Your problem is not your name. Your problem is you are spiritually dead. And it will take a divine miracle for you to ever reconnect to God. But I got good news. When Jesus went to the cross, he stood there. He was suspended between heaven and earth. And he said, it is finished. And he gave up his spirit. He went down into the grave Friday night, Saturday night, but Sunday morning, not to answer his critics, but to help you come alive. He came alive up out of the grave, kicked out the stone, and he said, though I was dead, yet now I live. And the only way to come spiritually alive is not to be a Republican. It's not to be a Democrat. It's not to have church membership. It's not that you got one wife or you got three wives. The only way to come alive is Jesus Christ has to come into your life. Without him, you're headed to hell. Listen to me. Without him, you're headed to hell. For it's not a homosexual or an adulterer or a criminal that goes to hell. It's people without Christ. But the moment that you repent of your sin, believe that Jesus died for you, he comes in you, and that which was dead now lives. Hallelujah. I'm alive spiritually. We want to talk about all the stuff that doesn't matter and leave the one thing that does. You need a miracle. And Jesus is the one who brings life to dead people. Look what the next verse says. 60. What's the next slide? Have I got a picture of Foreman up there? Go ahead. Oh, I forgot. Come on, musicians. 1974, probably one of the Well, I can't think of a sporting event since that's been better than that. 1967, I think Muhammad Ali refused the draft to fight in the war, so he gave up his championship belt. 1968, George Foreman won the Olympic gold, won the championship belt against Joe Frazier. 1974, some of the elderly people now, we remember the rumble in the jungle. Foreman was much younger, much bigger, and much stronger. Everybody predicted Foreman would knock Muhammad Ali out. They knew if Foreman hit Muhammad Ali once, he was done. So they went into that match, and Muhammad Ali picked up a new fighting tactic. It was called the rope-a-dope. He learned how to lean up against the ropes, and he learned how to absorb the punches of George Foreman. Every time the blows would come in, he would just keep absorbing them. He would just rope-a-dope. He'd just move around. And every time he'd punch, and then Muhammad Ali would stick his head out and say, "Is that all you got?" Rope-a-dope. Until the eighth round, George Foreman, he hadn't made his grill yet, so he was in trouble. And he rope-a-dope, but George Foreman wore out, and Muhammad Ali knocked him down 4 times in one round. The referee called a TKO. This fight's over. The first time, maybe ever, very rarely has it ever been that a championship boxer did not get a chance once they were defeated to have an opportunity to regain that belt. But never again did Muhammad Ali fight George Foreman. When they asked Muhammad Ali, "Why didn't you give Foreman another chance?" he said it his way. "I beat him so bad the first time, ain't no reason to fight him again." Now, some of you are going to have to pardon me. You're used to dead church, or you don't like preachers. You know, you just hear preachers with no passion, or I don't know, they're just a hireling, or they're just a wussy, one or the other. I don't know what it is, but I've come to tell you I was a dead man, and Jesus brought me back to life, so I'm not going to apologize. This has made the difference in me, and it'll make the difference in you. 2,000 years ago on the cross, the devil had been champion for a very long time. And he had Jesus up on the cross, and he was rope-a-doping 1 day, 2 days. But on the third day, Jesus says, "Is that all you got?" And he punched the devil in the face. He rose from the grave, and "I don't fear my future. I don't fear tomorrow." Come on, somebody. Jesus is alive, and so are the people that he enters their lives. Somebody shout, "Jesus is alive." What Jesus was saying to that young man, "Oh, go to the next screen, keep moving, he's down, go to the next screen." That's what Jesus said to him. "Let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." Can I give you one more scripture reference? All right, give me the men in that. The three young men. Fred, you can stay there, but come on up here, guys. Y'all look real sharp. Matthew 27. Jesus is on the cross. Stand over there. And he cries out in a loud voice, and he yielded up his spirit. Verse 51. "Behold, the veil of the temple torn into it." I don't need to explain it to you now. Come back. The earth quaked and the split. And Jesus cried out again, loud voice. The earthquake and the rocks were split, verse 52. And the graves were opened. The graves were opened. Before Jesus resurrected from the grave, the graves were opened. It's day two. Day two of this Easter weekend. And on day two, the graves opened. And many bodies, maybe thousands, who had fallen asleep, who were dead, were raised. Verse 53. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city, appeared to many. So for a while, they were dead. Watch this. And they looked dead. I mean, they were like really dead. Okay? And they looked dead. Do you know how to look dead? You look like about 15 of the guys out there is what I'm seeing right now. Look dead. Just dead. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Stay there. That's what I want. And that's what some of you look like. No, spiritually. spiritually. That's what you can do all the stuff you can, but you're dead. If you don't hurry up right now, meet Christ or recommit to him, then death will be a transition from here to a godless eternity called hell. You're dead, and there's something about a dead man. He can do nothing for himself. But resurrection power hit the graves of a whole bunch of guys. And when the breath of God that created Adam, when the breath of God that raised the dead bones in Ezekiel's boneyard, when the breath of God that raised Lazarus from the dead, when the breath of God that hit that little girl that Jesus prayed for and she came back, when the breath of God hit them, they straightened right up and they looked alive. Watch, watch, watch. They looked alive. But they did what any intelligent person would do that had died. When they came alive, they didn't stay in the tomb. They began to leave the tombs. And the Bible says that they walked throughout the city and everybody looked at them. And they didn't look at them like dead people walking. They said, "You were once dead. What happened to you?" "Ah, God came. I was dead, but now I am alive." They didn't look like walking zombies. They walked like what they were before death found them. Go over. Quick, and get dead. It'd have been a shame, but you know what? I don't think they ever asked for it. Can I preach a little bit now? I feel joy because I know what's going to happen to you in just a minute. I feel joy because in their death, they never asked for God to come to them. Oh, my Lord, help me. I said they were dead and they didn't ask God to come to them, but the resurrection power of God found them and interrupted them in their grave and gave them life, and they straightened up and they said, "We're not dead, so we don't belong in dead places anymore. We don't belong in dead relationships. We don't belong in dead churches. We don't belong in dead business. We don't belong in dead sin." And the first thing they did after they got interrupted was they left the grave. They said, "That's for dead people. Living people, come out here. Come on, we're alive. Dead people come alive by Christ. You don't belong in depression. You don't belong in sickness. You don't belong in worry. You don't belong in pain. You belong in power, because they that were once dead yet now are." Is there anybody in this church that is alive today? I refuse to let them get more excited about a basketball than I do save souls. I once was dead, but now I am alive. Hallelujah. Woo! I want all the living people to just begin to say, "Thank you, Lord." Come on, son. I can't help but get emotional, but I have to every now and then just say, "Thank you, Lord. I was dead, but you interrupted me." Some of you, he interrupted you in the worst of sin. He interrupted you in alcoholism. He interrupted you in homosexuality. He interrupted you in adultery. He interrupted you in greed. He interrupted you in dead religion. He interrupted you in occultic practices. I've come to say thank you, Lord, that you didn't let our lifestyle stop you from interrupting us. Come on, give him a good praise. Thank God. On Easter, why don't you give him thanks that he came to you? When you weren't looking for him, he came looking for you. Come on, give him, just let the Holy Spirit be in this place. Just begin to thank him. "God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord." We're not done here. I'm going to ask everybody to be as still as possible. But I want them to sing that song. Just sing that chorus. And I think that as we begin to praise him, the Holy Spirit himself will come in here and will touch the hearts of people that are now spiritually dead. And it will give them a hunger to say, "Today I want to come alive and declare his victory. Not only do I want to come alive, but I want to depart the things that are hurting me. I want to walk away from a life that's destroying others. I want to be a blessing and not a pain." Hallelujah. Come on, sing it. Sing that chorus. Come on, church, let's sing it together. Begin to magnify God today.
Your name is victory. All praise will rise.
Come on, sing it, church.
To Christ our King. Your name is victory.
If you're not alive with Him, you're going to be in a minute. Come on, let the Holy Spirit encourage you.
In Your name I come alive to declare
Your defeat is in Your past. Your failure is in Your past. And Jesus Christ has come today to interrupt your life and to help you to walk away and walk towards something better. Come on, there's something better. Is anybody glad there's something better? There's nothing for you in the past. There's nothing to go back to that's smart. But God's working in you right now. And He's preparing you for the year tomorrow. Begin to thank Him right now. Come on, sing it, family.
The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
Utmost respect for God and for your neighbor, I'd ask that everybody remain still. With every head bowed and every eye closed in a position of prayer. Today is the day that God has interrupted you. But I have a feeling He's been interrupting you before today. All that's happening today is another link in the chain of what God is doing to reach you. This is so much bigger than Charleston Church. God loves every local church that preaches the truth. But this is so much bigger than church. This is so much bigger than an Easter recognition. This is something so awesome. You've been in here. Your faith is strong. It takes faith for God to work. I wonder if you'll recognize that He's been interrupting your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a couple questions. One, how many of you, whether you're walking with the Lord or you say, hey, no, I need to get connected. How many say, I realize God's been interrupting my life with some stuff? Go ahead and raise your hand. I realize God's been interrupting some things in my life. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm glad that you know it, first of all. That's awesome. Glad that you recognize it. Two, isn't God so good that He'd pick you out to interrupt your life? I'm glad he doesn't call us by the crowds. He calls us by the person. He's interrupting you. It's a reason. Then if you raised your hand, or even if you didn't, and you say, you know what, I do realize that God's trying to get my attention. It's time for me to respond. I want to come alive. I'm going to get real practical with you. You say, Matt, you said I could come alive, but how do I do that practically? I'm so glad that I have the privilege to tell you. We do it every week like this. It's ABC. Admit that you're born spiritually dead. Admit it. I admit that's who I am. I can't save myself. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the grave for you. Not for them. He did it for the world, and that includes you. And then third, confess it. Jesus called people publicly throughout all of the Bible. I'm just doing what I've read in the Bible over and over again, that God doesn't want to do anything privately this way. He wants you to be bold about it. There's so much genius to why God does it that way, but for time's sake, if you're here today, you need to make a decision, A, B, C. Now, whether you've never prayed that prayer before or you're far from God and you know that the Holy Spirit's interrupting you, trying to change your direction, it's time to come back. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand high enough for me to see it. Then you can put it down. Ready? One, two, three. Put those hands right up high, nice and high, nice and high, right now, right now, right now, right now. That's awesome. That is so awesome. You can look this way. All right. You're doing it God's way, not my way. And I'm not talking you into joining this church. We love you. I love you. You're welcome in this church. I don't care who you are. But this is about you coming to God and doing it the Bible way. I'm going to ask you to come quickly. Move out of your seat. Bring somebody with you if you'd like. Too bad to come alone. But bring somebody with you and say, I want to go pray when they pray that prayer. Quickly, move into the nearest aisle. Make your way right to this altar, and I'll pray with you right here. Quickly, come. Quickly, come. Don't hesitate. Yep, they're coming from over here, from over there, from over here, from in the balcony. Come on. Don't hesitate. This is your day. This is your moment. This is awesome. Come on, don't hesitate. Don't delay. We're talking about saving your life. Come on, young lady. That's it. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Yes, sir. God bless you, buddy. Amber. Yes, God. Come on. They're still coming, church. You can do a whole lot better than that. Begin to fight. Let's celebrate. The Bible says angels are dancing right now. Vinny, come pray with this young man. He's good to see you. Yes, come, Maria. This, God bless you, young lady. Bless you. What's God doing? It's pretty amazing, isn't it? I don't see a lot of people cry and smile at the same time. That's awesome. Men and women, boys and girls, moms and dads, this is awesome. Praise God. How are you, young lady? I think, well, I'm doing good now that you're here. You know the torment that you've been going through in your mind? That's not God's will. There's a devil that hates you and there's sin out in that world. But God doesn't have to wait for everything to change around you. What he's going to do is start changing everything inside of you today. And that torment, the sleeplessness is gone in Jesus' name. It's going to help you with that. Amen. Did you come for prayer? Did you come with her? Oh, you did. Okay. God bless you. Awesome. I'm so proud of you. We're going to pray this prayer together. Are you ready? Let's pray together. Church, it would be so encouraging for them to hear their family praying this together with them. Altar workers are here. Tears are flowing. Lives. This is a powerful moment. It's a privilege, isn't it? How many feel that this is a privilege to be in such a powerful moment? This is a privilege. This young boy, how old are you, son? How old are you? 12 years old. Perfect age. Perfect age. Jesus was 12 when they went to the temple. And he said, you know what? I got to be about my dad's business. He wasn't talking about his natural dad's business, though it was a good one. You got a heavenly father's business too. God has a powerful plan for your life. Let's pray this prayer together. Are you ready? Dear Jesus, thank you on Easter Sunday. I am coming alive. I was born a sinner. Spiritually dead. But you've come to me. Thank you for interrupting my life and saving it. Please forgive me from all my sins. I publicly invite you into my life. I receive resurrection power. I was physically alive before I came here, but now I'm spiritually alive. I can experience a different life. The life you put me on the planet for. I thank you, my sins are gone. You've washed them away. I have a brand new hope. I'm a brand new person. Fill me with the Holy Spirit so I have the power to live the life that you've given me to. I depart the old things. I'm walking away from the pain. And I got the power to do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. If we would just, again, a sacred moment, stretch your hands this way. So many people. It doesn't matter that there's so many. It matters that there's individuals here today. Men and women, good people. Would you just stretch your hand? We just want to pray for you today. Heavenly Father, thank you for these precious souls. Lord, if one of them would have come it would have been worth more than all the world's wealth. But God, we thank you that you've interrupted them. I thank you for their boldness and their courage to say, I don't want to live like everybody else does. I want to live different. I pray that you'll let there be a witness right now. That's what I'm waiting on, Lord. Lord, they've heard the message. They've made a great decision. But Lord, they need the inward witness. That sense inside, this is happening, comes by faith. I thank you, Lord, that their lives are in your care. Praise God. Nothing to fear anymore. Only something, we have expectation. Lord, I pray, I don't know who is here in this altar that came with dread. They've been dreading things. That's what I sense in my heart. They've had such dread. They've been dreading. But Lord, now their dread is gone and expectation has replaced it. A sense of something is in mind for them. I thank you. I thank you for the people that witness to them, whether they're here or not. I thank you for the people that you've used. To God be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I want you to hear this. Those of you that are here, somebody's got a Bible, prayer card. They want to help you. We just want to rally. We're not forcing you in anything. We just want to support you because we love you. We really do love you. Did you come to pray, ma'am? Hey, hold tight, folks. Some of you I won't see till next year, so I'm going to take my time. What's your name? Hi, Marilyn. Is she family? Your mother? Jacob's grandmother. Did you come to pray today? Sorry, it's kind of an emotional day here. I don't know what's up, but thank God. How old are you? You look like 25. 83, okay, close enough. If I'm going to go wrong, I'm going to go wrong that way. Praying for you. You've got a praying daughter. You've got a praying daughter. God answers prayer. You needed to hear that today. Jacob is fighting leukemia, and in Jesus' name. How old are you, Jacob? 20 years old. How many agree with me today? If Jesus could overcome the grave, he can help a 20-year-old overcome leukemia. I forgot your first name. Marilyn. I can see why people want to run out of church when there's nothing going on. Churches like that. And you guys aren't running out of church. But when you go to a church where we believe people get healed from leukemia, makes you want to hang around a minute, doesn't it? Jacob, we pray in Jesus' name. The same faith that your grandmother exercised today to receive the blessed hope of salvation. We continue to put our prayers together, and this 20-year-old boy will live to be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, and if he wants 90, should the Lord tarry, touch his body. We believe he's getting stronger in the healing power. If you could resurrect from the grave, you can definitely heal our bodies. Touch this mom's faith. You're doing something here in this family, and it's marvelous to us in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. This is beautiful. God bless you. I love all of you. Let's finish these folks. I love you. Have a wonderful afternoon.